Have you ever wondered what the biblical shepherds were really like as people? My concept of a shepherd was formed very early in my life. I was probably 8 or 10 years old, and our little church had a Christmas pageant, and all the boys in the boys' Sunday school class had to be shepherds, and we had to wear our bathrobes. Now, my bathrobe had green and blue stripes, and my mother got a towel and made a turban on top of my head, and we had to stand in the front of the sanctuary. There was a little wooden box, and there was a baby doll in the box, and we were told to stand very, very still and stare at that baby and not to move. Well, somebody in this monotone voice started reading, "And there were shepherds out in the fields that night watching over their flocks." And as a result of all that, I had this thought: shepherds are very boring people. And I never challenged that impression until 1970. And in 1970, I took my first trip to the Holy Land. And I remember one day our bus was driving along the road, and it just happened to be in Bethlehem. And the bus slowed down, and it pulled off to the side of the road, and it stopped, and people jumped up out of their seats with their cameras, and they went over to the windows, and I thought, what is this? And we looked out, and sure enough, there was a real live Israeli shepherd with a flock of sheep out the window on the grass. And as soon as he realized that he had an audience, he came over and pulled out a little wooden flute. And then he started playing this lilting tune on the flute. And he started dancing to the tune and laughing and just having a really good time. There was no bathrobe. There was no towel. There was no glazed look. But instead, there was this young guy just having fun in what was probably a very boring job. And my whole concept of what those biblical shepherds must have been like took on a new perspective. And that's when I started thinking about other shepherds that we read about in the Bible. And of course, the most famous one was the shepherd boy David. Did you realize that he tended the flocks in Bethlehem in the same fields where the angels came to those shepherds that night? David was only one of many shepherds in the Bible. I mean, I think of Abel and Amos and Moses and Jacob, and there were probably many more. I wish we could have known really what they were like as real people. And that's one of the reasons that I've shared before that I really enjoy the TV series Chosen, because of the way they depict the disciples as real people dealing with real life issues. It just brings it to life for me. And of course, all that brings me to the focus of today, the shepherds. I mean, we've added the shepherd's candle to the Advent wreath. They were the very first people that God chose to reveal that wonderful truth of what happened that night in Bethlehem. God could have announced it to all of the theologians in the temple in Jerusalem, and I wonder how they would have reacted if they had been the ones. I bet they would have gone to their libraries and pulled out their ancient scripts and studied them and pondered the whole thing. Or God could have chosen to startle the Roman authorities with this news. Oh, how would they have reacted? Well, I bet they would have sharpened their swords and they would gather and wait for some kind of riot. God could have chosen the Jewish government officials in Jerusalem. I wonder how they would have reacted. I bet that they would have called a committee meeting and worried about how people were going to vote. But God chose some shepherds. some simple shepherd boys. Why did he do that? We don't know. We don't know. But here are some interesting thoughts that I had about it. Shepherds, you see, have a tough job. They have to deal with an animal that has a reputation for being dumb. Well, sheep are known to do some dumb things. And for instance, if a flock of sheep is walking down a path and you hold a stick in front of one of the sheep, he will jump over that stick. If you take the stick away, every sheep that comes behind him will jump over the stick that's not there. It's an amazing thing. They will blindly follow a leader. There's a famous story that was in the news in 2005 out of Turkey. One sheep walked off the side of a high cliff. 1,500 sheep followed him off of that cliff. 450 of them died blindly following the leader. Sheep need a shepherd. And God knew that when he chose to reveal the truth first to shepherds. This makes me wonder. And by the way, studies have shown that sheep are not dumb. Sheep are rather intelligent animals. In fact, they have discovered that they have the same IQ as cattle, only slightly lower than pigs. They can learn and memorize the face of a human being or of another sheep and retain it for 50 years. Have you ever gone to a reunion and met somebody? I know that face. Who is that? Well, the sheep knows these people after 50 years. So much that they get to know each other and they bond so much so that they will stick with one another no matter what comes along. And if one of them dies, they will grieve together for the lost one. So sheep are not dumb, but they can be very stubborn. They need a shepherd. They need a good shepherd. When David was anointed king, he left those flocks in those fields, and he took up residence in the royal palace, and he no longer had to deal with all those sheep. But something that he probably already knew became all that more real to him. And that is, people can be as stubborn as sheep. And I'm a people. I need a shepherd too. I need a good shepherd. And that's exactly what Jesus called himself in John 10. He said, "I am the good shepherd." So what is a good shepherd? A good shepherd is one who really gets to know each one of his sheep, the good ones and the bad ones and the ugly ones, and he loves them all just the same, just the same. A good shepherd is one who can predict how the sheep is going to act, and therefore it helps him know better how to protect the sheep. Thank God for that. I need that. A good shepherd is always at ease with the sheep, and he enjoys being with them, but he does not hesitate to exercise discipline if discipline is needed in order to teach and to protect. I need that discipline in my life. In fact, we are told that if one sheep tends to wander away from the flock, that the good shepherd would sometimes come to that sheep and break their leg so that they could not wander, but then carry that sheep on their shoulder until that leg heals. Amazing. A good shepherd would also rub oil on the head of the sheep in order to keep disease-bearing critters out of the sheep's head. Thou anointest my head with oil. And of course, a good shepherd would provide anything that the sheep needed. Your good shepherd knows exactly what you need. But he knows even more. He knows exactly what you need the most. John 10, Jesus said something else interesting. He said, I am the gate for the sheep. A good shepherd would know what he was talking about, because each night the sheep would go back into the sheep pen and they would go through the gate of the sheep pen. And the shepherd would stand at the gate and count each sheep as it came into the pen to make sure that they were all there safely. And as he did that, he would gently place his hand on the sheep to comfort them. And that's one of the ways that they got to know him and to trust him. I'll even go so far as to say maybe they even loved him. And you know what? Jesus wants to touch you every day. Jesus wants to touch you every day if you will allow him to do it. And if you don't allow him to do it every day, there's somebody else who will touch you. And he will lead you to disaster. Here's a different focus. Let's flip the question around. What is a good sheep? Are you a good sheep? Am I a good sheep? A good sheep recognizes the shepherd's voice and follows him. Responds to him, connects with him, and follows him wherever he would lead him. That means that the good sheep totally trusts the shepherd. On a different trip to the Holy Land, I met a shepherd personally, and this wasn't in Bethlehem, it was in Nazareth. But that doesn't make any difference. And I asked him this question. I said, do your sheep always follow you when you call to them? And he said, oh yes, they do, with one exception. He said, if a sheep is sick, he will not follow my voice, but he will follow just about anybody else's voice. And I thought that was very interesting. And it made me think about a sickness within me called original sin. And by the way, you caught it too. And you know what? It's never going to go away until we get to heaven. We carry it with us all the time. Sin can make me follow just about anybody if I'm not careful. That must make Jesus very sad. After all, he said this in John 10. He said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they know me. And then he added this, I will give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Hallelujah. Yet this sickness within me causes me to seek life other than the life that only Jesus can give me. I'm stupid. Don't quote me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you get it? Do you ever have the same struggles that I have? Do you follow the voice of Jesus Christ 100% of the time? I don't think so. I read about another guy that met a shepherd in Israel. A man came up to a shepherd and he was standing beside the body of a dead sheep. And he said, "What happened?" And the shepherd said, "I failed. I was distracted. And this wild dog came along and frightened all the sheep, and the sheep ran to the sheep pen for safety. But the gate was closed and they couldn't get in. But one of the sheep found a hole in the fence and squeezed through that hole, and the sheep followed through that hole, all except this one. And this one didn't make it because this one was too fat. Sometimes a good shepherd needs to put me on a diet." If we build our lives on the abundance of things, we will get too fat. If we build our lives on trying to be as comfortable as possible all the time in every way we possibly can, we probably will get too fat. I don't know about you, but I don't want my Savior to look at me and say, "Harry, you've got to get your priorities in order." But the fact is, he does need to say that to me, and he does say that to me repeatedly, because I enjoy abundance and I enjoy comfort. I'm sure I'm alone in that, but here's something else interesting. Did you know that sheep are afraid of moving water? If they come to a stream and the water is moving, they won't even drink out of it. The reason that they are afraid of moving water is that sheep are not good swimmers, and they're smart enough to know that. One day, a shepherd was trying to get his flock of sheep across a shallow stream of moving water to the other side where there was more grass, but the sheep froze. They would not go. There was nothing he could do to get them over there. Listen to what happened. He picked up one of the little lambs, and then he gently and carefully carried that lamb across the stream and placed it down on the grass. And as soon as that lamb got to the other side, it started crying for its mama. And the mama heard that voice, and she jumped into that water and ran over there to her lamb. And all the other sheep followed. So let me ask you this question. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? All of us have fears. Some of us have lots of fears. I'm going to pick just one. I hope that you don't have this fear. I hope none of us have this fear. But some people are afraid of dying. They're afraid of death. Of course, we are all going to die. But Jesus Christ has crossed over to the other side, and the time will come when Jesus Christ will say, "Don't be afraid. It won't hurt. I'm here. Come to me. Come to me." He is the greatest shepherd of them all. Long before it happened in Bethlehem, God inspired a boy named David out in the fields watching his flock to write these words. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for our great shepherd. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that we will know your voice and hear your voice and follow you and trust you and love you with our whole being the way you love us with your whole being. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.